As I said at the beginning of the service, today is the one Sunday of the year which is given over to a doctrine of the Trinity, rather than an event in the life of Jesus or the celebrating the life of a saint. I think it's been Trinity Sunday for many centuries. It is to encourage us to seek to understand the person of God better, the one who has revealed himself as Father and Creator, as the Son and our Redeemer, and as taught last Sunday, as Holy Spirit, empowering believers. If you look in the Bible dictionary or concordance, the word Trinity, you won't find it. But it doesn't actually, as a word, appear in Scripture. It's not a biblical word. Rather, it is deduced from Scripture and born out of Christian experience. And as to the Scriptures themselves set for our for reading this morning, which you've just heard, there's so much in each of those three passages that I was rather spoiled for choice. I could, of course, quite easily preach three sermons, but I promise you not to do so. The Gospel, of course, contains that wonderful verse, John 3:16, about being born again, and the whole passage, of course, about being born again or born from above, depends how you translate it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, who everyone who believed in him could not perish but have everlasting life. And in that discussion beforehand, there's the play on words, which you will get in the Greek, of the word humor, which can be interpreted as wind or as spirit. And the whole idea of being born of water and the spirit, both a physical and a spiritual birth. Equally, who could resist Romans chapter 8 and some good Pauline theology? In that very short passage, you have the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Christ, God's Son, all interlinked in close proximity, if you look at that short passage, second reading that Monica read to us. But it is to the Old Testament reading, the prophecy, the call of Isaiah, that I want to concentrate on this morning, our first reading. I'm not usually a great fan of the Old Testament, though it has to be stressed, as I've often done from neglecting the importance of knowing and understanding it, because Jesus relates to it, refers to it, quotes from it so much. This call of Isaiah, I think, might be described as one of the sort of purple passages of the Old Testament. But it was always an embarrassment for Jews. For the Jews have a very distinctive monotheism, their belief in one God. Sometimes, as we were actually discussing last Tuesday, in the Psalms, it's a little bit qualified. Our God, capital G, is a great king above all gods, small g. You get the idea. But basically, they were monotheistic, with belief in one God. But notice the question in the Old Testament reading. You have the God of Israel speaking in the plural. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? It's not unique to the Old Testament. Remind you of the creation narrative in Genesis. Let us make man, or to be gender inclusive, human beings in our own image. Let us. And I would suggest that both these passages foreshadow a greater revelation of God in the person of Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the passage from Isaiah, the experience of Isaiah in the temple, is called, reveals something of the nature of God as to who he is. My first heading here is certainty in a time of uncertainty. Notice the opening line of the reading. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, This is, of course, dating by events, isn't it? In the year that King Uzziah died, in the year that the first men landed on the moon, which was 1969, okay, I'll answer your question. But we often do that. In the year that Queen Elizabeth II came to the throne, 1952, because I was born 20 days later after she came to the throne, so I can remember that very easily. But talking about people coming to the throne, certainly if you're Brits, you all know that there's a very clear line of succession in the British royal family. It's slightly changed now because you don't have to be the male, whatever it is, advantage has gone, so our new princess, I think, jumps in and pushes a few males down the list. But there is a clear line of succession. But that was not so in the time of Isaiah. Rather, things being suggested might have been happening in Saudi Arabia. So there would often be a chance of a bit of a power struggle in the palace when the king died. Division. A time of uncertainty for the people of Israel. But in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord, I saw God sitting on the throne. Human uncertainty, but divine certainty. God is on the throne. He reigns. When we look at our world today, both sadly areas of conflict, equally areas of economic uncertainty, particularly for those in the Eurozone and the problems in Greece, let us hold on to the fact that God is on the throne. He reigns. He provides certainty in an age of uncertainty. Secondly, as we have just sung, he is a holy God, a thrice holy God. All-powerful God who reigns, but a holy God, thrice holy. As I've often mentioned, it's not an attribute of God that we dwell on very much, normally. But, as we will say later in this service, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name, holy is your very being. And Isaiah, experiencing this vision of God, he draws from him a recognition of his own sinfulness, of his own unworthiness before God. Yet that recognition of the holiness of God and holy Isaiah's own unworthiness in the sight of God eventually, of course, brings cleansing and forgiveness. What does God say after he's touched his lips? Your guilt is departed. Your sin is blotted out. Yes, we worship a holy God, the Holy Trinity, but he is a God also of forgiveness for those who recognize their own worthiness in his sight and seek his cleansing and forgiveness. And thirdly, we have a certain God in the time of uncertainty, a holy from God, thrice holy. We thirdly have a God who calls. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us, says God. Yes, God is not to be continuously frightened of, which of course the Jews often were. They were afraid of the presence of God. Equally, he's not a God to be ignored. And sometimes people have those one or two opposite reactions to him. Rather, he is a God who is to be served and whose character needs to be made known. Who calls men and women to follow him and to prophesy, to foretell who God is and what he has done. And of course, in our reading, Isaiah responds to God's call. He says, here am I, send me. So, as ever, having expanded a bit about God from the passage, how does it apply to us? Well, the question at the top of my next page here, it says, are you, am I, listening? Are you, am I listening to God's call? Back to our friend the Psalms, and we're going to look at another one on Tuesday evening. Old Testament scholars often debate the liturgical setting of a psalm. When was this psalm used in temple worship and so forth? And of course, the story from Isaiah's prophecy this morning is Isaiah attending worship at the temple. Sacrifices were being offered. Incense and smoke was all around. Sounds like a good Anglo-Catholic mass, doesn't it? The house was filled with smoke. Yes. And I'm sure there were lots of people there with Isaiah. But thinking of the liturgical setting of his vision, only he, Isaiah, heard the voice of God and responded to it. I'm a great believer in liturgy. We are a liturgical church, hence you have an order of service with a liturgy to follow, rather than in some free churches that I call a hymn sandwich, a little more than that. But there is a value, but also a danger, of familiar liturgy. And as we enter ordinary time, this green booklet will be used for quite a number, large number of Sundays over the next few months. Sometimes we have the danger of going through the motions, saying the confession by rote without thinking. Do we come to worship, to participate in worship, with a sense of expectancy that God will speak? Isaiah clearly did. Do we? Or if we expect nothing, then we can be sure that we'll get nothing. But as we worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit this morning, let us be listening, assured of the certainty of God in an age of uncertainty, remembering that he is a thrice holy God, with one who calls you and me. Are you, am I, listening this morning to the word of God? And even more importantly, are you, am I, ready to respond and say with Isaiah, here am I, send me. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.